Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called My Friends and I Are Being Forced to Brutally Kill Each Other, and I Can't Stop It. This is written by Trash Tia. I really hope you enjoy this story, and a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible in every episode hereafter. I hope you enjoy it. Let's get started. I've been thinking, maybe this is all because I called my ex-girlfriend a bitch on her wedding day. Today is June 28th, 2 months after my best friend's wedding. If my calculations are correct, I have been murdered 1,789 times. No, 1,790, if I include being pushed out of my apartment window. I'm not one to believe in fate, but as a kid, I was sure I had found my soulmates. I remember discovering the word soulmate as a curious 10-year-old digging around on my older brother's laptop. Jace's girlfriend had broken up with him, and his Google search history was a plethora of, "Have I just lost my soulmate?" I didn't know the context of the breakup, but I knew it involved another girl. After spending days isolated in his room, Jace had fallen down a rabbit hole. He was looking into descriptions of his soulmate, even paying cash to get some scam to tell him their name. "That person entangled with you is upset, and rightfully so, but that does not mean you can't make it right. You are in charge of your own destiny and can win them back. Follow the red ribbon of fate." Spoiler alert, that weird post was kind of right. They're happily married with kids now. Anyway, this isn't about my brother's soulmate, this is about my friends. Like I said, they were my soulmates. When Dexter McIntyre ran up on me in the fourth grade with a red thread tangled around his thumb, I should have known better. "Your mom gave me this." I should have cut it off him, rather than teasingly slipping my finger into the knot. Zach Chatham and Fallon Clark joined in, entangling our thumbs. It was supposed to be fun until we realized we had tied the knot a little too tight. Fallon was the crybaby in class, a tiny girl with a golden ponytail and a loud mouth. She made sure to be extra vocal to our teacher. Freckled redhead Zach thought it was funny, giggling through the whole ordeal. I'm not sure what he found so amusing about being painfully bound by a single piece of string that was quickly cutting off our blood circulation. We had to be gently escorted from the classroom, still uncomfortably pressed together. Fallon was crying and Zach's laughter was getting a little throatier. He kept yanking his finger, which only jolted all four of us. "Ow!" Fallon squeaked. She shoved him, hard. Zach was no longer smiling, his freckles a lot more prominent under the fluorescent white light in the nurse's office. "Are we going to die?" he whispered. When Nurse Kale pulled out a scary pair of scissors, he almost fainted. Dexter was unusually quiet. The boy kept sending me worried glances while the nurse hacked her way through our binding. From the look on her face, even she was baffled at how tangled up we were. It didn't make sense how one single piece of thread was so strong. "How did you even manage to do this?" she hissed, grabbing sharper scissors. "He did it," Zach grumbled, trying to point at Dexter. From his uncomfortable position pressed into my shoulder, though, he just manically flailed his free hand. "I didn't tell you to join in," Dexter snapped back. "You're a stupid head for sticking your finger in the knot." "I am not," Zach spat. "You started it." "Mr. McIntyre, don't be rude," the nurse sighed. "Apologize to your friend." "Bird isn't my friend." I could tell the nurse was growing impatient. "Zach, please don't use that name. Dexter, say sorry." "Sorry," Dexter muttered under his breath. "I can't hear him," Zach said matter-of-factly. "I said sorry." "Thank you." The nurse smiled and cut us loose with one single snip. She left to get juice boxes, and for a moment, the four of us were in stunned silence. It was Zach who started laughing first, then Fallon joined in, giggling. His laughter was contagious. Dexter was smirking, and I was trying really hard to stubbornly stay quiet. Instead of laughing, I picked up the red thread that had been severed from our fingers, dangling it in Dexter's face. "It's magic," I whispered. "Why else would it only come apart when you apologized?" The boy snatched it off of me, still trying to hide his grin. "I'll get rid of it," he said with a nervous laugh, inching towards the trash can. But I definitely saw him slip it into his jeans pocket. I only knew Dexter from his nickname. The other kids called him Bird because his shabby dark hair resembled a bird's nest. I was vaguely aware of his family situation. His mother left him, running off with a college boy, and his father was an alcoholic. Dexter came to school wearing dirty clothes and smelling of stale urine, his hair growing out into a greasy, knotted mess. The other parents would always tut and whisper when he passed them, not so subtly pulling their children close to them like he was diseased. Mom told me not to go near him or I'd catch lice. In the winter, Dexter would arrive with no coat and minus temperatures. His shoes had gnawing holes through the soles, and I could see his bright red toes poking through. Still, Dexter never lost his smile. He wasn't an outcast among the class, even if his parents highly disapproved of us associating with him. Dexter McIntyre lived in his own bubble, where he could make jokes and hope kids wouldn't turn on him. So far, it was working. After the red thread incident, we got to know him a lot better. And suddenly, Bird was actually Dexter McIntyre, whose biggest fear was becoming his father. He liked chocolate milkshakes and Zelda and hated being alone. I remember first stepping inside his place, exchanging confused glances with Fallon and Zach. The hallway was real white marble. When I was greeted to a chandelier, a suited man insisted on taking my coat. I burst out laughing. The house was huge. It had four bathrooms. Dexter's house was bigger than mine. I marveled at the architecture, a mix of modern and ancient. And there were two kitchens, one upstairs and one on the ground floor. Obviously, there was a noticeable mess, even with a maid, who greeted Dexter with a kiss on the forehead. She ruffled his hair, complaining of its length. Ignoring the beer cans littered everywhere, dirty plates and pizza boxes piled up in the kitchen, I ran up to the refrigerator and yanked it open, pulling out four cans of soda. Dex was trying to hide small white baggies on the countertop. It's candy, he said, hurriedly dumping them in the trash. My friend's house was not what I was expecting. The boy's parents were rich. Like, rich rich. It was just his dad who was failing with the basic parenting. Dex had a bedroom with two spare ones he used for video games and watching TV. His bedroom was full of clothes and new shoes, which confused me. I picked up a pair of $90 trainers, with the tag still attached. Dexter had a whole closet full of clothes. He had holes in his shoes and wore the same shirt and jeans. Fallon asked him why he always wore the same clothes, her expression twisting with worry. Zach was bouncing on his bed and I was transfixed on his bookshelf. Dexter shrugged at her question and said, I'm not allowed. I watched him pick up a brand new shirt, flinging it across the room. I'm not allowed to wear anything my mom bought me. Zach opened his mouth to speak and Fallon nudged him. Instead of asking questions we really wanted answering, the four of us played Zelda until Dexter's father came home. He called us a bad word and he immediately crashed on the couch. When I told Mom I had been inside Dexter McIntyre's house, she didn't get mad. In fact, my mother was only vocal about Dexter's lack of hygiene in front of the other moms. When I was eating breakfast, she slipped a note in my hand, stroking my ponytail. Can you make sure to give this to Dexter McIntyre today, darling? I nodded, but I had plans to trash the note. I knew what it was going to say. Stay away from my daughter. I did peek at it, though. I was curious. Dexter, darling, would you like to come for dinner on Saturday night? I was wondering if you would like me to give you a haircut. You can say no, sweetie. Also, please find enclosed $10 to get yourself some lunch. Mrs. Lee. Underneath its smaller writing, she had scrawled the children's crisis number. Crumpling up the note, my cheeks were burning. I had seriously misunderstood my mother. I gave it to Dexter, and after skimming through it, he started crying. Zach comforted him with his DS, Fallon squeezing us all into a hug sandwich. Dex did eventually come for a haircut. Not on that Saturday, though. Instead, Dexter came for burgers and s'mores. The following weekend, Dexter McIntyre sat in my kitchen, with a towel wrapped around him, while my mother washed his hair, and then cut it into an easily manageable style. Zach told Mom about the clothing situation, so she went out and bought him new clothes. I think Dexter had been brainwashed by his father that his mother was the devil incarnate. He wore the new clothes with no problem. As long as Dex's mother had not paid for them, his father didn't say anything. I wanted him far away from that house, so I invited him to hang out every day. Rain or shine or snow, I made sure Dexter was by my side. And the rest was history. I don't remember officially becoming friends with them, or even making it official. Like all childhood friendships, it just happened. It feels like we were friends before we were even born. That invisible red ribbon binding us together, for better or worse. What I didn't expect was to develop a crush on a certain member. I hid my feelings, though. We were 11 years old, already confused and finding ourselves. Dexter and Fallon shared a moment at the summer fair. Zach and I didn't even find out until a month later, when it was clear the two of them were growing closer. I caught them awkwardly holding hands, and they both went tomato red. Dex nudged the girl out of the way. "Oh, we're not a thing," he grumbled. "Fallon is too stupid. I have standards." Ever since getting a haircut, finding his own style, and being labeled as cute by the other girls in class, Dexter thought he was the next River Phoenix. Fallon's eyes filled with tears, but she nodded, sniffling. "Yeah, Dex is disgusting." I shot Zach a grin, who in turn stuck his tongue out and threw the candy he'd been eating in my face. Turning 12 years old, Fallon and Dex no longer tried to hide their little thing. When we were hanging out at the park, he'd rest his head on her shoulder, grasping for her hand. Zach rolled his eyes at me, pulling a face, and I suddenly got really sad for no reason. They were cute. It wasn't quite dating because we were too young. The two of them were a slowly blossoming thing that wasn't quite a thing yet. Neither of them knew how affection worked. They broke up over a tuna sandwich before rekindling a day later at school. But I saw the way he looked at her. His smile was warm and pretty, and she was glowing. Dex was Fallon's soulmate. But my gut ached. Was I sick? Did I have a fever? Why were my cheeks so red? I started to hate myself, angry at myself for having feelings. I wasn't expecting to get butterflies for Fallon Clark or her stupid blonde ponytail. Our friendship was short-lived, however. It was small and barely lasted a few years, but somehow it was special enough for us to want to cling on to it. Dad announced we were moving to New York just after my 13th birthday. I was officially a teenage dirtbag, and this was my present. Initially, I stayed for quite a while. Mom said we had 2 weeks before the move and I should say my goodbyes. Though the hot topic in class was us becoming high schoolers, it felt wrong to ruin their excitement. Zach had grown way taller and was hanging out with a new group of friends. Fallon and Dex were officially dating, but Fallon and I were also hanging out privately. It was one stupid kiss at a slumber party. Fallon said it was a joke, but she also said she kind of maybe liked it. It was a mess. A big middle school love triangle mess. Still, though, the four of us rode our bikes to the lake during weekends, and it was awkward. Not the same. I felt it in the air, as well as inside my gut. We weren't kids anymore. Now that we were older, we didn't want to play or search for buried treasure. Fallon preferred to tan under the sun's glare, and Dexter brought a book to read. Zach was comedic relief, thankfully, making jokes and telling creepypastas. I couldn't hide my smoldering cheeks. And Dexter was all but a clueless boyfriend with puppy dog eyes. So, I guess moving away was a blessing in disguise. I did eventually tell them over ice cream, my voice wobbling. We hugged and cried and maybe got a little tipsy on Zach's father's pricey wine. They were my first real friends, regardless of how triangled we were, and I was already being pulled away from them. Fallon. I was being pulled away from the girl I could not stop thinking about. The day before I left for New York, Dex strode directly into my house and kidnapped me from my bed at 6 a.m. It was a school day. When I tried to say that, Dex covered my mouth. Mom handed us a packed picnic basket and ruffled his hair. She only said one thing: bring her back by curfew. We spent the whole day at the lake, one perfect summer getaway. Even better, we were missing school. When the sun danced across the horizon, the sky growing darker, Dex jumped up from his place sitting on a rock. His smile and the flickering orange from our campfire took my breath away. Something uneasy writhed in my gut when I stared at my friends through the flames. Zach, who was less smiley than usual, had tipped back his gaze on the stars twinkling above us. Fallon, her hair was caught in a whirlwind whipping across her face, and she looked so sad, despite her laughter and forced smiles. Every time I glanced at her, she averted her gaze. "We should make a pact," Dex said, pulling something from his pocket, the red thread. He held it over the fire, and something twisted in his expression. "To make sure we stay friends forever." I noticed his eyes darken significantly, flicking to Fallon. "No matter what." Zach burst out laughing, Fallon jumping up and wrapping her arms around him. "You kept it?" I managed to get out through a breath. Dex nodded. He ducked and grabbed a book he brought. Okay, so the book says we do this at midnight. He shot me a grin, wrapping the red thread around his index finger. Do you think your mom will kill us? I shrugged. Probably, but it's only 2 hours. We spent those 2 hours talking about everything and nothing. The boys dipped their toes in bioluminescent plankton and swapped stories from when we were kids. I sat on a rock and tried to keep my emotions in check. I loved Fallon and Dex, and getting in between them was something I didn't want to do. But I also had really bad butterflies for my best friend. Eventually, I pulled her away from the fire when she was making s'mores, and I said goodbye to her. The two of us sat in freezing cold water up to our ankles, and Fallon said she'd wait for me. My heart felt like it was going to burst out of my chest, and I didn't know what the context of wait was. Would she wait for me as a best friend or something else? I asked her what she meant, and Fallon opened her mouth before Dex interrupted. The boy waved the book. It's almost midnight. He raised a brow at our joint hands. Are you guys gonna kiss? I pretended not to see him trying to hide a smile. At the stroke of midnight, the four of us stood under a perfect full moon. Dex said we had to repeat exactly what we did 10 years ago, entangling our thumbs. Dex read a passage from the book, and I can remember every word. I can remember an uncomfortable tightness in my chest, like we were being physically bound together by every word. When the pain became overwhelming, I tried to tug away, but the others stayed still, unmoving and unblinking. The moon cast an eerie glow in their eyes, like she was filling them, polluting them. A bond as close as ours can never be broken, and if so, we will pay the price and be brought together again and again. Then it was over. Dex severed the thread from our fingers and dropped it into the fire. Zach looked uncomfortable, wrapping his arms around himself. Do you guys feel weird? He asked in a small voice. I didn't say anything, but I did feel weird. Before I could speak up, though, my mother found us. She dragged me away before I could say a real goodbye. 13 years later, Fallon forgot to invite me to her wedding. After college, Fallon Clark and I reconnected on Instagram. I actually found her by accident while looking for the perfect flowers for my mom's funeral. Several accounts had suggested her now-deleted account, Flora Flowers. As soon as we started talking, old feelings came back. I invited her for drinks. Fallon looked no different. She still wore overly long dresses and daisies in her hair. But as an adult, she made it work. Her hair was shorter, blonde curls bouncing on her shoulders. When I saw her, I felt a pull drawing us together. That same sting in my chest from when I was a kid. But it was a good sting. I sensed it, that invisible ribbon tangled around the two of us. The closer we got to each other, the warmer and safer I felt. I got overly emotional about my mom's death, and Fallon hugged me, opening up about her own life. She and Dex officially broke up in their junior year, when she caught him and Zach hooking up in the darkroom. Fallon explained that ever since our pact, things had been different between the three of them. Different in a good way? I asked, sipping my overpriced cocktail. Fallon shrugged. Kinda, she blushed slightly. I don't know how to describe it, but it felt wrong when we were away from each other. It started with Dex and me, and then he and Zach, and Fallon looked sheepish. When it became clear that something was going on between all of us, we tried to make it work. Her eyes found mine, but it was painful. It hurt being so close together. She sighed. Without you. I nodded, slowly smirking. Aw, you guys missed me. Fallon didn't smile back. She leaned across the table, almost knocking her drink over, her lips close to my ear. I mean, physically painful. She whispered, her breath grazing my ear. It was agony. For all of us. It felt like being ripped apart, like my soul was poisoned. When she straightened up, her expression was different, contorted, like she resented me. I started to notice her hollowed-out eyes under the club's twinkling lights. Downing the dregs of her cocktail, Fallon's smile twisted. It got bad enough that we started to get physical symptoms. She counted them on her fingers. Zach collapsed during class and had to be revived. Dex started throwing up blood clots, and according to my doctor, I went into cardiac arrest. Fallon's lips curved into a small smile. Would you believe me if I said what we were experiencing was heartache? I laughed nervously. This is a joke, right? Fallon's eyes were dark. I couldn't go near them. She whispered. Without you, whatever we had was incomplete. Without you, it was hurting us. So we found other ways to deal with it. I already knew what was coming. Something slimy twisted in my gut. He didn't. Fallon didn't meet my eyes. He did. Right at the start of senior year. Fallon? We searched for you, Ruby. Her voice broke a little. The summer before our last year, we came to New York to try and find you. Fallon let out a breath. You have to understand that even being close to you at such a long distance and yet closer, it started to hurt less. Zach knew roughly where you were, so we just kept driving, and the closer we got, it was a relief. Like whatever had been choking us had let go. I opened my mouth to speak, only for her to cut me off. We found your house, Fallon laughed. Who needs Google Maps when you have an invisible magnet pulling us towards you? I suddenly felt very sick. I never saw you. Fallon traced her finger around the rim of her glass. Well, yeah, she said bitterly. Your mom told us to leave. She said you had found new friends and we'd make it awkward. So we left. We got back in Zach's car and drove in silence all the way back to town. The boys and I never spoke to each other again. I had a hard time finding my words before she reached for my hand. And yet here you are. Fallon's lip twitched. Should we try finding Zach? I found my breath. Probably not a good idea. I'm not fully aware of the details of that night. I just know that Fallon and I became an actual thing. It did hurt at first. Without the boys, I understood what she meant, but we got used to it. It just meant we had to space out our time together. During the day was particularly painful, enough to convince me I was dying. So, we used the night instead. Then Fallon disappeared. No note, explanation, or even a text. And then it started to hurt. For the first few days, it felt like the flu. Then I started losing my breath. Countless emergency room appointments told me I was fine, but I felt like I was suffocating. Every breath was painful. My heart ached in a way I couldn't understand, and when I started heaving up blood, I tried to contact Fallon. And no such luck. Flora Flowers was gone, and when I dragged myself there physically, it had been shut down. By then, every day was debilitating, and I felt like I was losing my mind. 3 years. 3 years of inhalers, agony, and contemplating suicide. I caught the announcement on Facebook of all places. I don't even go on Facebook. I was trying to find an employer from my bar job, and my mutual friend had commented on this post. Congratulations, Fallon and Sarah. Choking up blood was now a daily occurrence. Skimming through the post, I swiped up my wet lips. Sarah Kingsland, 26 years old. According to her profile, Sarah was a squeaky clean girly girl who said things like, "Okie." Her whole profile was Fallon. Sarah's latest post made me feel nauseous. Today I am marrying my soulmate. Underneath to my confusion and anger was Zach's comment. The Zach Fallon had supposedly cut contact with and never spoken to again. Can't wait, I'm definitely going to cry. Love you, Fal. I saw red. I'm not proud of what I did next, but you have to understand, I'm not the asshole in this. I turned up at my ex-girlfriend's wedding wearing the best dress I could find. I was breathless, furious, and maybe a little drunk. I missed the ceremony itself. I was turned away without an invite, but just as I was leaving, I felt it. A sharp pull, a tightening in my chest that physically twisted me around. Cheering caught me off guard. Confetti was being thrown in a whirlwind. I saw Sarah first, dressed in light pink. She was beautiful. Surrounded by friends and family who were not me, I watched Fallon Clark emerge through the door wearing a wide smile, draped in a breathtaking white dress that flowed like liquid silk. Her hair was longer, almost to her stomach, braided with flowers. She really did get that Rapunzel-style wedding. It was hard not to notice how ghastly white she was, like she was being drained, but her smile was real, not the strained grin she gave me years ago, full of pain. Fallon was happy. Watched her kiss Sarah. Her new wife scooping her up, making her squeal with laughter. When she threw her bouquet into the small crowd, I bit back that relentless pain, straining my chest. I made peace with my old friend being happy and no longer part of my life. I could ignore that squeezing in my chest and move on with my life without her, as long as I distanced myself as much as possible. I started to walk away until I saw who caught the bouquet. Dexter McIntyre, 25 years old. He was still ruggedly handsome with a matured face and a scruffy, artsy look that screamed pretentious film student. The dark shadows under his eyes were prominent, highlighting darker, hollowed-out punctures I barely recognized. Dressed in a white shirt and casual jeans, with a pair of Ray-Bans sitting on his disheveled brown curls, he was so Dex, my eyes were already stinging. Bird had come a long way from his middle school nickname. Dex held up the bouquet with a laugh, waving to Fallon, who cheered. At that particular moment, I didn't want to acknowledge his loose shirt collar or the way he was slightly off balance. I was too busy scanning for another familiar face. There, Zach Chatham, was further away from Dex. His style was less casual, khaki pants and a suit jacket, a Polaroid camera hanging around his neck. With his mop of dark red hair and freckles, he looked like he had stepped out of a vintage photograph, a touch of nostalgia mixed with pretentious charm. Seeing Zach, regardless of how mad I was somehow a comfort. I had missed him. My ex-best friend stood at a reasonable distance apart in the crowd, intentionally ignoring each other's presence. Before I could stop myself, I was already striding towards them. Fallon met me halfway in three heel clacks. "You bitch," I said before I could stop myself. The crowd around us started to murmur in surprise. "Ruby," her voice was a low hiss. "Don't do this now." I didn't want to hurt her, but she had hurt me. Even worse, she had left me with no breath for 3 damn years. "You invited the guys," was all I could choke out, gesturing to the boys. Zach looked awkward, and Dex had the nerve to roll his eyes. I ignored the crowd erupting into murmurs. Fallon's wife stepped forward, but my friend gently shoved her back. "But not me. Are you serious right now?" I was getting more confident, more angry, until I was hysterical, spluttering on a cough. "You left me for 3 years with no explanation in this state," I gritted through my teeth. "And now you're married to someone I don't even know?" "Don't start this now." Fallon's cheeks were growing paler, and I wondered if I was the culprit. I was standing too close, an all too familiar pang in my chest. Her eyes pleaded with me, but I was past reasoning with her. I felt like I was drowning. Fallon didn't speak to me, but she did tell Dex, who was hovering over us, to take care of it. That was the nail in the already shattered coffin. I slapped her, and somehow I was the one who felt the sting. "Take care of me?" I spat. "Like a dog?" "Not the time, Ruby," Dex sang in my ear, his breath tickling my cheek. He reeked of alcohol. With him close, that pull was back, forcing us together. "Didn't you say Dex was dead?" I spluttered. Dex's eyes darkened. He folded his arms. "So you did meet up with her?" "I told Ruby you were drinking," Fallon snapped. "Which you are." He pulled a face. "Some friend you are." Dex's hand wrapped around my arm to pull me away, and I shoved him back. "We are not friends." His laugh caught me off guard. "Good." He was definitely slurring his words. "You put us through hell for 15 years and you think we're friends?" Dex snorted and it came out. All of that pain and anger he'd been suppressing. "Your psycho mother told us to screw off when we needed help, and you couldn't answer one measly letter?" "I didn't get any letters," I said through gritted teeth. For a second, Dex looked confused before he rolled his eyes. "Oh, you didn't get one letter? Not even a text? In the 15 years we were apart, you never got one damn inkling we were in pain? That we needed you?" I felt my body jolt when he stepped closer. From the strain in his eyes, Dex had felt that pull too. He staggered away, offering me a two-fingered salute. "Go home, Ruby." Fallon started towards Dex, but he shook his head. "Stay away from me." His voice broke. "You actually met up with her." Her expression crumpled. "Dex, it was for closure." "Bull." "What?" "You knew where she was and how much pain I was in," he whispered. "But you kept your mouth shut." Dex stumbled. "I'm done with all of you." "Wait," Zach spoke up. "But what about the—" "You can shut the hell up," Dex turned to him. "You blocked me on Messenger because you're a coward." Zach looked hurt, putting on a mask as always. But he still laughed, still emitted that Zach charm. "Oh, I'm the coward? I'm not the raging alcoholic who sponges off his dead mother's bank account." Dex snorted. I'm sorry, weren't you begging for my dead mother's bank account 5 years ago to pay some debt collectors? Oh, you couldn't freaking wait to throw that in my face. Ditto, jackass. Stop, Fallon shrieked. Just leave, all of you. Her words were final, and so were mine. I nodded, swallowing. You're all dead to me. The second the words left my mouth, I felt a shift in my mind, a sudden, contorting twist in my body. It felt like my chest was being squeezed, my heart suffocating. In one single breath, I was sure I was going to collapse, all of the breath being sucked from my lungs. I could feel it, the sensation of something unraveling inside me, coming apart by the seams, severing. When my next breath was no longer a pant, a desperate cry for oxygen, I could have cried. That debilitating ache in my heart I had been fighting for most of my adult life was gone. It was the opposite of what I felt at 13 years old. That felt like a weight suffocating me. This was like it was lifting, finally freeing me. My second breath felt human again. My third breath was almost a sob. I didn't have to suck it in and pray it was enough. I noticed a change in the others, like a switch had been pulled. Fallon's expression softened, her hand going to her heart. The strain in her eyes, the pain she was trying to hide, was gone. Dex's cheeks had color in them, the dark circles under his eyes fading. Zack let out a sharp exhale of breath, like he could breathe for the first time. I remember catching Fallon's gaze. She was still mad, and I still hated her, but my ex-girlfriend's eyes were filled with tears, a silent thank you. Dex's lips pricked into a maybe smile, but he still wouldn't look at me. I loved Fallon, but part of me also resented her. I was pretty sure she was my soulmate, red string binding us together, or not. But sometimes it was better to just let go. We were adults with our own lives. We didn't fit together anymore, and that was okay. When Zack's camera hit the ground suddenly, splintering on impact, I barely noticed. I was completely at peace with myself, caught in a whirlwind of emotions. But in the corner of my eye, the guy ignored his camera. Instead of checking if it was broken, Zack picked up a glass of champagne from a service tray and shattered it against his own head. Something slimy crept up my throat because his smile wasn't wavering. In fact, Zack's grin only widened when he stabbed Dex straight through his arm. It took half a second for my mind to register the blood seeping down his temples and blooming through Dex's shirt. Screams erupted around us, but to my confusion, Dex wasn't reacting like he was confused or hurt. Whatever affected Zack had caught him. I saw his eyes flicker, his jaw going slack. Twisting around, he dropped into a half crouch and scooped up a broken shard of glass. I was paralyzed suddenly, time coming to a confusing halt. It was the light in his glazed over eyes that terrified me. Ruby! Fallon was grasping my shoulders, but I shoved her away. Ruby, we need to go. I couldn't stop staring at him, entranced, as if hypnotized. I was transfixed by the cavernous emptiness in Dex's expression as he stepped forward and plunged the shard through Zack's skull. I partially snapped out of it when blood splattered like confetti. Zack dropped to the ground and Dex lifted his head, his vacant eyes meeting mine. The shard of glass slipped from his hand, yet his fingers twitched as he slowly lowered himself, groping for a second shard. He stalked toward me, slow and deliberate. For what seemed like an eternity, but a blur of white dove on top of him. Fallon, my ex-best friend, squealed in delight, her slender fingers tightening around his neck. It had taken her too. I backed away, aware of the guests screaming and swirling around us. I was aware that I was backing away, my gaze fixed on their struggle. Dex sprang to his feet like an animal. Fallon anticipated his every move. The two circled each other, grinning like maniacs at their game. Dex lunged teasingly, throwing her off balance, but Fallon was faster. She caught him in a headlock, but he squirmed free. With a stiletto heel to the chest, he fell back. Fallon easily straddled him. And with the grace of my ex-best friend, Fallon Clark extracted her stiletto heel, pinned down his twitching hands, and drove it through Dexter's heart. I found myself entranced by the vivid red spraying Fallon's face. In contrast to her white wedding dress, she looked ethereal. The thick beads of red dripping down her cheeks almost resembled strings. So beautiful. A panicked server pushed past me, drinks shattering on the ground. "Ruby!" Someone was screaming, or shrieking my name, but I felt something toxic coursing through me, and it was only pointing me in one direction. Sarah stood in front of me, shaking violently.
"Ruby! Ruby, what's happening?"
Her voice barely penetrated my mind.
"What's wrong with her?"
She meant her wife, prowling like a wild animal. Instead of answering, I moved towards Fallon, who twirled her bloodied heel between her fingers teasingly. I dropped to my knees, pricking my finger on a shattered champagne glass. I grasped it, molding it in my palm. What was I doing? I wasn't completely sure anymore. My body no longer felt like my own. Fallon struck first, but I already had one hand wrapped around her throat. What I wasn't expecting was for her to stab me in the gut with a nail file. That caught me off guard, but I don't remember feeling anything. Fallon took advantage when I let go and finished me off, slicing open my throat. Warm red seeped down my chin, and it was so hard to speak, so hard to tell her I was sorry. Except my mind was polluted, drowned with a hatred that tried to force me back up, puppeteering my limbs into weapons. The bride dropped to her knees next to me, her eyes glowing with an ethereal white light I couldn't understand, and drew the blade across her own pale throat. I woke up the next morning, alive and somehow not fatally injured. Fallon's wedding could be explained, kind of. According to the town, it was a mass hysteria event caused by a gas leak. I thought that too, until the bride herself turned up at my apartment and stuck a carving knife through my heart. Since my first murder, every day has been a hunt. My purpose on this earth, from the moment I wake up in the morning, is to kill them. On Monday, Dex drowned me in my pool. Tuesday, Fallon shot me in the back of the head. Wednesday, Zach stabbed me straight through the heart. Whatever this thing is, it has turned me into a murderer, and strangely, I enjoy it, both my own despair and theirs. I've become accustomed to squeezing the bloodied pulp of their hearts between my fists. I know the exact weight of them. Zach's heart is weaker. Dex is cold, and so cold I struggle to hold it. Fallon's is the smallest, easier to pulverize between my fingers, and somehow this thing makes me like it. Zach is convinced that if we redo the ritual and make friends, this will stop. But trying to collaborate with your murderers who can turn on you at any moment is extremely difficult. Dex, like me, enjoys it, but to a whole other level. Ever since he ripped Zach's heart from his chest, Dex has been infatuated. Initially, Dexter was the brains. "We need to bind ourselves together again," he said when we met at a distance, blindfolded. "Because severing whatever we had was extremely bad." He tried to get us to work together. However, the more times we die, the less humanity comes back with us. Dex is the living proof of that hypothesis. It started with him treating killing as a game, but there's no winner or loser. No logic behind this. We just kill each other, come back, and kill each other again. Whatever this thing is, it's evolving inside us. At first we were like animals. Now I don't know what we are. Something between mindless and human, with enough brains to be tactical. After acting like a rabid dog for the first month, Dex now makes us suffer. He's more human, but still a long way from being Dexter McIntyre. He was obsessed with the human heart and why ours were chosen, entangled and bound in poison. 2 days ago, I woke up after he drowned me in my bath. I was strung up upside down in his dad's old annex. I was supposed to meet Fallon at a safe distance, but the guy had knocked me out. I hated how familiar I was with his workshop. Clinical white walls and plastic sheets on the ground to avoid making a mess. I could still see what was left of Zach's old body, maybe from a week ago. A mutilated torso lying on a silver table. Dexter had already cut into me, already plunged his gloved hands into the cavern of my chest, giggling like a damn kid. I was half conscious, aware of my own blood spilling onto the ground, tangled and knotted around his trembling fingers. I was staring at a string. A single, slimy red string he was pulling out of me. It felt like he was unraveling me like a doll. My body contorted more as he pulled, and I could feel everything coming apart, body, mind, and soul. His eyes were bright, polluted, leaking moonlight that crystallized down his face. It was like there was a crack inside him, splintering. When the string caught inside me, my vision went black. I woke up this morning at home, alive but with a little less humanity. I'm too scared to go outside, too scared to open my door. It's like a never-ending game of hide-and-seek. We are soldiers following the orders of our 10-year-old selves. We broke the pact, and those little brats are making us pay. I guess we really are best friends forever. The mail came this morning. No name, no note. Just a single piece of red thread burned at the ends. Call me crazy, but is someone else on the outside playing games with us? That's the end of the story. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what you thought of it in the comments below or wherever you can. If you enjoyed this story and you'd like to hear more, well, subscribe. Why not? And if you'd like to support this channel even more, there's a Patreon available. But hey, I just appreciate you being here. I appreciate you listening because, well, I don't make these stories. I don't read these stories for no one to listen. So I appreciate you for listening. If you'd like to, come join our Discord. It's pretty low-key, pretty chill. There's some really nice people there. And if you'd like to send me your story to read on this channel, go to storiesaftermidnight.com where there will be a link to do so. So, with all that said, I hope you enjoyed yourself, and I hope to see you in the next one. Take care now. Bye-bye then.